Hey, Holly.
Hey, Dave.
How are you today on the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
I'm feeling pretty bitchin' today. How about you?
No, you are. Are you feeling good after our long road trip to San Diego?
Yeah, I'm still feeling a little lost in the 80s.
Yeah, well, the reason we went to San Diego was to witness the Lost 80s live show, and that was quite an experience. That was our first road trip, I believe, like an official What Difference Does It Make road trip.
It absolutely was. The venue itself was great. Humphrey's Concerts by the Bay in beautiful San Diego, California.
You wouldn't know that there's a concert venue there, but there is.
I've always wanted to see a concert there. I knew it's cool because it's a nice small venue. The sound is great.
Yeah, Rob Juarez invited us down to talk to all the bands, talk to the fans, and kind of get a feel of what the Lost 80s Live experience is like. And we did experience it. Have you ever been experienced?
Are you experienced?
Well, we are now.
You guys might remember Rob Juarez. He created the Lost 80s Live concept, and this is their 20th anniversary. Rob was a guest on a previous episode.
Yeah, he doesn't lie when he tells us how busy he is during the whole production of Lost 80s Live. So we got to see him run around like, what do you run around like? What's
a chicken with his head cut off?
Yes, there you go. So that was Rob with his, like a chicken with his head cut off.
Not only is he organized the whole thing, but he plays drums in Stacey Q's band. So he's up on stage too.
Yes, and okay. He has a bobblehead. And he has a t-shirt. He really likes to brand himself. Besides seeing Flock of Seagulls and Wang Chung and English Beach, you can also see Rob Juarez and get a bobblehead of his. He's the MC during the whole show. So that made it kind of fun just to see, hey, look, there's Rob up there. Holly and I were to the side of the stage, and we got an eagle eye view of everything that goes on. It was tremendous fun. So afterwards, they had a meet and greet, and we patiently waited and talked with the artists and talked with the fans. After they had talked with the artists, they got to talk to What Difference Does It Make. Lucky them.
Part of what made it so enjoyable is that the fans are really, really into it.
Indeed, and you'll get a sense of that. So why don't we just get right into it? We're going to start it off with, at the very end, running into their van. We were able to capture the Wang Chung boys, Jack Hughes and Nick Feldman, before they left off for their next venture. And kind of get a sense of what the Wang Chung experience is like. So let's get into it on the What Difference Does It Make podcast.
Okay, so after we saw you, we thought maybe you should be called Jam Chung, because you seem to jam it out a little bit. That was really nice.
Jam Chung, that's quite good.
Yeah, well, that is one of the things that we enjoy about touring these days. You know, we sort of stretch the songs out a little bit, so especially Fire in the Twilight and To Live and Die, we sort of like, you know, have solos in them and sort of extend them in ways that they don't extend on the records, you know.
Very surprising, but that's fine.
I mean, in the 80s, you weren't allowed to do that stuff.
You
weren't. No, it's all very structured in the 80s. But.
Well, it's two different methods. Did that help your songwriting to keep it structured and tight?
Yeah, I think back then it was, you know, machines were really coming in, weren't they, to sort of make records and, you know, so drum machines and the samplers and all that stuff. And there was a tendency to want to try and make the records, make the live performance like the records, you know. But now I think we have a sense of, like, just reinventing the songs for live performance. It's a different thing, you know.
Now we've learned how to play after 40 years.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
You've been taking lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The fans seem to like it.
Yeah, they do.
It's a lovely feeling to get that back from them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a different sort of time, I think, when you're playing live. You know, with a record, you do have to keep things focused. But live, the time passes in a different sort of way. So I think you can do more, extend things more. And people enjoy that, you know.
Yeah, it's been great. Especially, I mean, you would think at an 80s show, they want to keep it tight, but they're letting you expand.
Yeah, no, I think so.
I think
we
just like to bring something different to it, you know, and put a bit of effort in and express ourselves a bit. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
These shows, they're great fun to do, but we're still doing a shorter set. So we still like to sort of inject that bit of extra into even the shorter sets.
Hot on the run from a great brother power game. The man who leads the way. The man who leads the way. Shower the sparks from the soul that they'll never tame. The man who leads the way.
Thank you.
Iowa State Fair. We managed to fit that in. We did an hour and a half set. That was great fun.
90 minutes, yeah. They wanted 70, but we were so into it that we just kept going, more jamming. Yeah, yeah.
So it's Fish, Dave Matthews, and Wang Chung.
I love it.
The Grateful Chungs.
Yeah.
I just loved how amenable they were to you renaming them Jam Chung.
Yeah, well, I call it as I see it.
We also had the pleasure of speaking with Jerry Miller of the Untouchables, a L.A. hometown band.
L.A. all day, born and raised.
Weren't you like the band at the Roxy? Were you?
Yeah, we were house band at the Roxy like in 83, 82, something like that. And it was on Wednesday nights, and they loved the band. And we would bring in the kids, basically. And the kids would bring scooters. So it was all fancy in front of the Roxy, and they loved it. And that brought, you know, attention to the Roxy. It definitely brought attention to the band, so they loved it. And we were good kids.
Yeah.
You know, we look kind of menacing some of the time, but we were great, great kids, and they loved it, and they appreciated it. Emilio Estevez, his brother named Ramon, was actually our first manager. And it just so happened that Emilio was filming this video, and Alan Cox mentioned something about scooters, and Emilio went, "My brother manages this band called The Untouchables. They all ride scooters." And it just lined up like that. And it was the first thing we did on tape, you know. Great. Clean living helps, you know.
Have you been on a scooter? Have you tried these the scooters on the street now?
Oh, new scooters? Well, I used to work for Piaggio, so.
Oh, okay. So that's a legit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a real scooter. So I know new scooters. I'm a classic guy myself. And back in the day, we all rode scooters, and I still have a scooter to this day.
What do you have now?
A P200, a good P200.
How were you introduced to that? Like, or who was riding the scooter that was like, I need one of these?
Well, some friends of mine and I that started the band, Clyde, Chucky, and I, we used to ride motocross, dirt bikes, two strokes, you know. When the scooter thing came about, they kind of reminded us of two strokes, just the smell and everything, and riding them and the sound. So that's what got us into it. But then when we got into the mod scene, that was the mod way to travel. And scooters were all fresh and new then. People didn't really know about it. They're all over the place now. But they were a rarity. So you see these seven guys riding around L.A., Southern California, all over the West Side, Beverly Hills, everywhere, beach areas, on these scooters, dressed as mods to the T, Parkers and everything. And they would chase us down just trying to... Who are you guys? And, stuff. And we loved it, of course. We made it hard for them to catch them, but then eventually we let them catch us.
So you were riding them before they became hit?
Well, we were some of the first to ride them. I mean, there were a lot of people that rode them with pockets of everything. But we, you know, we had our own pocket in L.A. And we were definitely some of the first to ride them in L.A., if not the first.
Let's go to the present. How was the shows today? Is it hard to be the first band, or what's your strategy?
It's where they place us, and you know, I would love to go on later, but you know what? It is what it is, and I'm just happy that we're here and able to expose ourselves. So actually, people are seeing us again, getting reacquainted. We get new fans. You know, there are people. A lot of people say they never heard of us tonight, and they say, "Oh, you guys were so good, man." And that's the best feeling, you know, when you still have it. I still have the passion. The band's not original anymore, but the guys in the band are just like are so great and so understanding and so fun.
It was also nice to see that you're still a fan of music. I saw you like watching Dave and just cheering him on.
Big inspiration, man, Dave Wakeman, you know? Definitely. Now that I'm older, I understand it all. I'm surprised that the 80s is its own thing, you know? It made its mark, and it ain't going anywhere. It's like funk or disco in the 70s or anything. Rock in the 60s and all this kind of stuff. Ah, oh, it feels so good. And I really appreciate these bands more than I did then.
Yeah, you know? Right, right.
I understand it, and musicianship. And the fact that they're still doing it, we're the same people.
So Jerry might have talked about a lot about L.A. culture, but we were in San Diego, so it was nice to get a unique San Diego experience from back in the day. This is Pablo Garcia, who loves music from the 80s.
How long have you been going to these things?
Six years in a row. I missed that one with the pandemic, but I've been coming every time, and it's great, every great. All I can say to Rob here is bring these new wave rock groups out every time. I know they're doing something, get a little thing together and just get back together. There's always fans, the new wave music. Everybody remembers the 80s, the new wave. Everybody remembers the haircuts, the dressing up, going to the club and stuff like that. I'm Mexican-American, and you know, and we always dress up for the songs and stuff like that. I can tell you stories of high school when my first flat top, I want to be like David Kahan, have the flat top thing. I remember those
haircuts. What were you
setting up for me? To go to a haircut place and tell the guy, I want my first flat top. I want my first time with my spikes and my hair painted a little bit blonde here in the front, stuff like that or whatever. It was a dress up. It was the 80s, the best time in the world of music. That's all I can say.
Class of what? Class of what high school year?
Southwest High School, class of 1990.
90, all right.
90, yeah, class of 90. But a little bit back, I can go to my junior high. I was listening to all this music.
Still counts, of course.
There was a radio station here in San Diego called 91X, and they used to play all this music. And I still remember the late, great Steve West. And, you know, what can I say? My heart bless to him and his family. And he made me new old music. So it was all right. It was great. It was a great time. I guess that was a little bit of a format change between 80, 81, 81, 82, where they changed rock and roll to kind of like this obscure music that came out from England for bands like The Cure, The Pesh Mode, and stuff like that. And Smiths, Echo and the Bunny Man, all those, you know, new wave obscure bands. So ska, you know, like reggae, stuff like that. All the music everybody wanted to be like that. That's all I can tell you. I wasn't a ska dancer, but I remember there was a little dance called the ska, whatever, where they kind of turn around like the western. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, those songs kind of give me back memories.
So you found a Missing Persons fan.
Yes, I saw her from behind, and she had a very cool image of Dale Bozzi on her jean jacket.
Nice.
I love Dale. Actually, Dale gave me a shout out from the stage.
That was to you.
That was to me.
Oh,
yeah.
So sweet. Okay.
Some of these guys I saw at the Yes Festival in 1982.
Yeah. Class of?
High school class, 84.
So 82, you were 16. How'd you get there?
My boyfriend drove me. Yeah. My mom let me go. Hey, I wasn't allowed to go to the first one, but then the second one I was allowed to go to, the big one.
Ever.
I would have enjoyed it now, at my age, but at 16, it was a blast.
It was the best.
Yeah.
Did you get to go to a rock festival when you were underage and leave with your boyfriend?
I did not. Did you?
I did, but they were in Canada and you wouldn't know them, so it was no big deal, you know.
And you're such a cliche.
That would be kind of cool to be 16. Going to a rock festival with your significant other. That's a memorable moment.
For anybody for that.
That sticks with, right. That'll stick with you forever.
Definitely had an impact on her.
So we're in the middle of San Diego, our exciting trip, but it's time for a beer break and we will return shortly.
Thanks for giving me a moment to pull up my leg warmers. And we're back on the What Difference Does It Make podcast at Lost 80s Live.
A lot of the fans dressed up like they would in 1983. Yeah, it was like they were at Camp Beverly Hills and they got their stuff.
Some of them really did it up. There was a dad and a daughter, a young daughter, really cute, dressed up. I think they were wearing wigs.
It's a family affair, not just in the audience, but on stage. We talked with Bill Wadhams. He is one of the lead singers and originator of the band Animotion. And he had some stories to tell about who exactly was up on stage with the band that night.
I am Bill Wadhams from Animotion. So I sang a song Obsession. I'm here with my band, and tonight my band includes Astrid Kling from England, London, England, but it also includes my son and our drummer, Jim Blair, who was an original drummer from the 80s, and his son, Wyatt Blair, playing with him. So tonight, a gorgeous night out, and we've got our sons with us, and we're rock and rolling as the sun sets.
You have like the Partridge Family on your hands.
I guess we do.
Yeah.
You are an obsession. I cannot sleep. I am possession.
Well, my sons were like 3 and 4 when the song came out, and we played at Magic Mountain, and they came, and my little guys were in the wings, and now, so many years later, he's on stage with me. I can tell you something about Obsession, that it's not about a man and a woman, even though that's what it appears to be on stage. The one thing, I've never been romantically entangled with Astrid. She was all the way through our years of recording and touring up until now, she was married to the bass player. But then they split up about 10 years ago or something, and that opened the door for my son. But tomorrow night, he's going to be back with us for the first time in a long time, and he'll be on stage. My son will also be on stage, but it's a peacemaking concert at the Greek Theater.
That is so
amazing.
Wow.
Isn't it? For a while, my son was a member of the band at every show. And he said to me at one point, how did I get fired from this band? And I said, it was when you chose to go to a bachelor party on a yacht on the way to Catalina instead of doing the show. And he goes, oh, yeah, I remember that. He didn't give me very much notice on that one. But he's back. We can kind of afford to bring him along, then we will. And then this thing tomorrow night is going to be pretty rare because the two of them had quite a heavy falling out. But then they've forgiven each other, and this is the first time they'll be on stage because they have forgiven each other for a rough breakup.
Wow.
They're not going to tell this story on stage, are they?
You know what? Tonight they actually told us we have some extra time because Naked Eyes, Pete Byrne, did not show. So they said, you've got some time to stretch. So we thought, well, we can either cram in another song or we can talk to the audience. And then we decided to talk to the audience.
I'm gushing over it being a family affair with Animotion. You know how I love all the family stuff. So it was extra special, I think, for them all to be up there. So I was watching this fan in the audience. He was obviously a great fan of Stacey Q, and he was interacting with some people, and I was just sort of eavesdropping on them. Turns out he's been a fan since before she was even Stacey Q, and he happened to be interacting with some friends of hers, and they made something very special happen for him. This is Stacey Q fan Frank Kempa.
First off, the tickets were a gift for the both of us for our retirements.
Oh, congratulations!
Yes, and it's a meet and greet, so I was excited about meeting Stacey Q, but unfortunately she had to leave. But her friend who was dancing over here said that she's going to get Stacey to come by me, and I was like, oh, that's sweet, but I didn't really think it would, and then it happened, and I almost passed out. I was like, oh!
So sweet.
And I've been a fan of Stacey Q since I was in the military in the 1980s.
God, so even before, so when she was SSQ?
Way back in the 80s when she first came out with her Better Than Heaven album.
Yeah.
And I say album because I'm old.
Nope.
I was like kind of going back and forth about coming, but when they said Stacey Q, I was like, okay, I'm coming.
So what would a party be without the ladies bringing their woo-ness to any festival or party? We all love the woo girls, don't we?
I love that. Their woo-ness. Let's talk to them about their woo-ness.
How was the evening for you?
Absolutely amazing. So much reminiscing.
Took us back to high school.
Woo!
All right, shout out to class of...
85!
We had a girls' weekend, and she put this on the itinerary, and
yes,
we had the time of our lives.
Our girls' weekend.
Yes. Wow. Austin, Pasadena, and San Diego. We had an amazing time.
Every year,
the whole time in the aisle.
Oh, yeah, she made a playlist of all the bands, and we were listening to it beforehand.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, we had to warm up, you know?
Yes.
I was dancing my ass off.
Yes.
I don't know every single stranger.
Of course, right. They're already suddenly your best friends.
Yeah, we're best friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. Came on, we just started going crazy, and everybody around us.
We're all
high-fiving,
we're all
video, we're all, like, recording.
It's like you're
ourselves.
On roller skates.
Yeah!
Yeah! Oh, my God! Roller skates! Yeah. Do that next year.
Okay, yes, next time we'll roller skate.
Sure. Right.
Leg warmers and roller skates.
Sounds good. Right.
They brought the party. So, of course, we have to wrap up our look at Lost 80s Live with the originator. That was Rob Juarez. As he was running out, ready to go to his next show, we tackled him and just wanted to get a post-game wrap-up from him. How did he look?
He looked like he had a very full evening and looked like he was tired and ready for a good night's sleep, but still amped at the same time.
Sure. He's throwing a party every night, and he's the man responsible. And so, you know, he wants to make sure everybody's happy. So when we tried to tackle him, he's like, okay, fine. These are my last two people I'm going to have to make happy. So I'll give him a little Rob Juarez. So here he is, the creator, the producer, the player, the all everything of the Lost 80s Live show.
Break it down. Post game wrap up show.
Okay. All right. Tonight was sold out. We had an amazing time.
How are you feeling about tonight? How do you feel?
I'm feeling tired. And four shows in a row, I'm beat. And you should be beat too. Four shows in a row, Kevin Rankin, everybody. Four shows in a row. We're tired. We're very tired. I wear so many hats because not only do I play, but I produce the event. I own the brand.
So I was saying, like, why is he doing all this?
Yeah. And that's me.
Micromanager?
And that's me. The fans were amazing. What brings it full circle is that we bring up so many memories, a lot of emotion. I think, like, when I'm on stage and I'm seeing the faces, I see tears. I see people who really love what we do. For me, it's emotional because I know I'm doing something that they really appreciate. And unfortunately, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but everything comes to an end. And we're winding down as we get older. So I'm savoring every magic moment. We will be back in San Diego. We're already booked. I can't give the date. We're already confirmed. We're sold at the Greek tomorrow, but we're already booked at the Greek again for next year. I mean, it's a great tour, but we just have to wind it down because I'm tired.
And how is it, the one you were looking forward to was in Texas. Was that, did that live up to your expectations?
It was bigger and better than I thought. But everything's bigger in Texas.
Of course.
Yeah, I had a great time. It was nice. I could do without the heat. The minute I walked outside, I sweat a man bra. It was weird. It's so weird how, you know, every state just has their own, you know, magical moments. Like when you go in Texas, there's so much land. The people are so grateful when you come because they don't get a lot of 80s groups out there. Right. So when this show comes out, it really does well. So we'll definitely be back. And by the way, thank you for remembering that. Yeah, it was very magical. It led up beyond my expectations. A lot of fans donated a lot of money to St. Jude and the JDFR. This was the only meet and greet we did on the tour because of COVID. So I think it turned out pretty well. We raised, I believe, a little over $9,000 tonight for the meet and greet.
Yay, congratulations. So, yeah. Well, dude, you looked calm the entire night to me. Everything looked like it was running smoothly. Congratulations.
Well, I had to be on stage, and I had to do my thing. So, and again, thank you guys for coming out. You know, there's a lot of moving parts that you probably started witnessing. Yeah. It's not just, hey, we jump on stage and we do it. No. I got a team of 12 production people. We have a lighting crew. We have a crow's nest. You know,
yeah.
It's a lot of stuff going on. And everything's coordinated through walkie-talkies and, you know, when we go on.
Wait, we're observing.
Yeah. So, again, some people that don't understand, they go, oh, well, oh, my God. What, you play in front of people? Well, you should. What, you play? I wish I only had a 15-minute-a-day job. It's like, whoa. So do you actually think that 15 minutes is what it was? You know, you remember that movie called Get Him to the Greek?
Yeah.
How it took weeks in the making. It takes months in reality for this show. This show went on sale 7 months ago. And there were so many moving parts. We even had a band call out sick due to COVID.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, well, I really don't want to let you down. I'm going to show up and play. I go, no, you're not. Because next thing you know, we're all sick with COVID. So using this hotel down the street.
Thank you for having us.
That was our Lost 80s Live adventure. Did you enjoy reliving that experience?
Are you asking me if I enjoyed reconnecting with my 80s roots?
Sure. How are your 80s roots? Are they holding up?
My 80s roots are holding up just fine. Yeah, no, everything about that show was fun. Everything. I loved watching how into it the audience was, and the venue was perfect right over the marina, and it was a really great night. Thank you to Rob again for having us.
Thanks to all the bands. The bands are all very enthusiastic. They love playing for everyone. Sometimes when you think about nostalgic acts, you're like, okay, they're just running through their songs and can't wait to get off the stage. And we found that was not the case. All the artists we saw truly love playing and playing these songs that are 40, 50 years old, still enjoying the enthusiastic reception these songs get so many years later.
Yeah, it's really nice to see that they're so passionate about it and the appreciation that they have for their fans.
Indeed. Okay, so how do they appreciate the What Difference Does It Make podcast?
They can appreciate the What Difference Does It Make podcast by checking out our YouTube channel and subscribing at What Difference Does It Make podcast and all our other social media at WDDIM podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, new episodes every Friday, so please subscribe. By the way, we are also a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.